The views and opinions expressed by the guests, callers, and hosts on this and all Rents Radio Network programs do not necessarily reflect or agree with those of the network, its commercial sponsors, its radio station affiliates, or internet broadcast platforms. In these controversial times, we believe the First Amendment and freedom of the press are absolutely essential to the survival of our nation. Thank you. And now, enjoy the program.
Fear. Trying to do one more little thing. Let me do this. Too small. And large. See, I got some a couple of stories, posts that we're going to read later on tonight during hour three, and the font looks like a lot of very small ants. I can't read them. So I'm asking that they be enlarged. Let's see. Enlarge. Okay. So, if you all could see what went on here, you wouldn't believe it. It's really a three-ring circus. No, it's more than that. It's a six-ring circus. Speaking of circuses, the ringmaster, Admiral Cooper, is allegedly standing by. I hear him clearing his throat, eating more Entenmann's, drinking more tea.
And, no, I got coffee tonight.
Coffee tonight. All right.
Yeah.
Have another hit.
Coffee is another gift. Tay is turn.
I see. Have another hit on that big fat joint.
A what?
Oh, come on.
No, I never did that. I may be looked on as kind of square or whatever, but I never did that. Never did any kind of drugs at all, ever.
What is alcohol?
That's not a drug. That's booze.
Oh, that's right.
That's the Irish national drink.
Forget that. That's right.
So far this year, I've had two drinks all year. I've all but cut it out.
Well, you're supposed to have a drink or two before the program so you can have more fun.
Is that on my expense account?
Oh, you want me to send you a beer? Is that it?
No, I don't drink beer. My Irish granddad would be rolling over in his grave.
Mm.
I used to drink hard liquor a lot when I was a professional racing driver. I drank an awful lot.
Give him a bottle and a straw and he's happy.
A bottle and something to mix it with. VO and 7, CC and 7.
Oh, he's talking the talk now. Listen to this.
Bloody Marys, whiskey sours. Everything except scotch. I couldn't handle scotch. Smelled like perfume. And
wait a minute. Wait. Scotch, isn't scotch whiskey?
No, actually, scotch is scotch. Whiskey, by true definition, I had it once upon a time, but there's a difference between scotch and whiskey. And also, if I remember correctly, if there's a E in there, W-H-I-S-K-E-Y, it fits a different definition than if it doesn't have that E. But don't take my word on that, because that's something I remember reading a million years ago.
I see. So scotch whiskey, or scotch, and there is something called scotch whiskey. I've seen it on a label.
Okay.
Scotch whiskey is, it smells like perfume?
Yeah.
Reminds
me of my days in boot camp and tech school when guys were drinking aftershave lotion because they thought it was cool. Because they read stories about in the war years, guys would be drinking torpedo alcohol. And I had this one guy, that just a little short, runty guy in my barracks named Elders. Forget his first name, but a little short, runty guy.
Tiny Elders.
Yeah, okay, that must have been him. And he was drinking Old Spice aftershave.
Oh, come on.
So, but I never developed a taste for scotch. Scotch, if I understand it correctly, is made from rye. And
so it doesn't
bourbon.
Taste like whiskey.
If you say so.
Well, I'm asking. I don't know.
I don't know. I don't drink it.
All I know is if I sniff that stuff, my skin crawls.
Oh, okay. Probably shouldn't sniff it.
No, I know. Don't say drink it either. No, I just, it's always made my, the hair on my forearms would stand up. I don't physically interface with that kind of liquor. And I know a lot of people do.
Yeah, so far this year I've had two Bloody Marys. That's it. That used to be, you know, before 4 o'clock in the afternoon.
Hmm.
And then more after that. No, I used to drink an awful lot. Now I've backed off to almost nothing. Last time I was drunk, for God's sake, was February of 1987, when all the Germans came in for our first annual convention.
Mm-hmm.
We got down to Key Largo a little early because I lived in Chicago at the time and wanted to have a few days. And my wife was with me, and my friend who owned the marina where I met my wife, and one of my gorillas was with me. You know, I used to collect debts for some Italian guys in Chicago. And I got so damn drunk for 3 days.
Mm. Then How many legs have you broken? How many kneecaps have you shattered?
Not me. I merely make the suggestion that they pay what they owe.
I did nothing. I'm innocent. I know nothing.
I had three guys that traveled with me that were the size of Dick Butkus. And just the sight of them made people pay their debts. It would have scared the hell out of me.
Well, a man of many talents. What can I say?
That's good. 50 years ago.
Yeah. A lot of bodies buried out in the prairie, I bet. Or did
not
they
to
even
my knowledge.
Have prairies? They were no prairies where you were.
I was in Chicago.
Yeah, what do they call the countryside in Chicago?
I don't think there is a countryside in Chicago. It's all
outside
houses.
Well, it's Lizard Lightfootville.
Oh, jeez, yeah. What a beauty. They call her the troll.
Is that what they
And, of course,
about?
All that crime in Chicago, that's all Donald Trump's fault. Or maybe it's Vladimir Putin's fault. But yeah, anybody's fault except hers, even though they cut, I think I heard something like $1 billion out of the police budget, so they've had to let go of a whole lot of cops.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, defund the
police.
Well,
look, come on. The woman looks like a lizard, a little fence lizard. And
okay.
She's got all
of
her
little...
We
got a lot of them down here in Florida.
Yeah. She's...
She's your typical radical left-wing liberal.
You forgot lesbian.
Well... That's okay. That doesn't make her a bad mayor. Never in fact, said she's a left-wing liberal.
It's just part of her bio that we should include all of it.
That's okay, all. If you say so. But the fact that she's your typical radical left-wing liberal, you dial 9-1 and we'll send a counselor out to help you through your time of grief because your family's just been shot dead, all five of them, and you're the only one left. And so we need a grief counselor. Forget about the police. I'm glad I live in Florida where the cops are respected and they do their job. And, you know, for about 2 years here, we had druggies. We live way out in the woods. And for 30 years we lived here, it was dull, boring, peaceful, and quiet, and that's the way I like it. And then about 3 years ago, druggies moved in, and there was a hovel down the road from here.
I remember this whole story. It was horrible.
Right, and the sheriff, who's a friend of mine now, put some of his better people on it, and every time these guys showed their face, they got arrested. And finally we got them all out of here, and about 4 months ago, they bulldozed the hovel, so there's nothing for them to come back to. And
really?
They're gone, and we're back to being peaceful, quiet, and pleasant. And I didn't even have to shoot anybody like I did when I was living in Chicago.
Well, we don't want to go into all this stuff.
No, the guy was breaking into my house at midnight, an armed burglar.
Did he walk out, or did they have to carry him out?
I didn't want to take a chance on going to prison, so I shot him about 2 inches below, making him a soprano in the left leg. Jesus, I didn't realize people bled so much when they get shot.
Well, you shot through the artery.
No, I missed the artery, thank God, or he would have died within minutes, and then I would have been in trouble.
What did you shoot him with?
Oh, just a hollow point magnum.
Uh-huh. That tore a pretty good-sized hole.
Made a mess of him. He bled. We had just had a fresh snowfall, and he walked out to his, limped out to his car, bled all over the snow. He took off. The cops got there as he was going down the street, and I said, hey, he's bleeding. Get him to the hospital. And I described him, and they said, oh, that's John Brock. Did you kill him? I said, no, but he's bleeding real bad. They said, we got to take all the reports and paperwork.
They said it's time for our dinner break.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, you had to go have dinner and then we'll look for
him. He was a burglar they had been trying to catch for months. So
funny.
Yeah, but here in Florida, for the most part, the sheriffs are really law and order guys.
Well, they're professionals. They're real people. Good job.
Yeah, our sheriff here is the first Republican sheriff in this county ever in history. And he joined the Army as a buck private, lowest thing you can be, and he retired as a full colonel. That's almost unheard of. He's really a sharp guy.
Yeah.
He just got us 4 helicopters donated by the Army for our sheriff's department.
Four choppers.
Yeah, I think they're going to sell 2 of them, but they're keeping 2 of them.
They had to keep one for parts.
No, they brought back a huge trailer full of spare parts, motors, transmissions.
Well,
the Army gave it to him, and it's sheer coincidence, I'm sure, but the commander of the Army base that donated all this stuff was the sheriff's son.
Good job.
It's
not what you know, it's who you know.
Okay. Yeah. And the only problem we have in this county is the drugs and break-ins that go along with it. Murder,
well,
I can't
that's
remember
going
the
to
last
become...
time we had a murder here.
Yeah.
Rape, we don't have rapes. We don't have armed robberies. We just have druggies breaking into empty houses. And the problem, you know, here we got snowbirds. So many people live here only in the wintertime. And in the summertime, their house is sitting empty.
Well,
so they're targets.
My friend, things are going to get to be very formidable, so keep it loaded and ready. No, it is. It's these are not good times ahead.
I know it. I know it. And, you know, people, you know, I talk to people who seem to be on the fence, and I say, hey, if you think Joe Biden is non compos mentis, if you think he's not mentally competent, you're right. If you think he's making bad decisions, you're dumber than he is, because he's not making the decisions. This is being made by people way above him.
Well, I don't call him O Biden for nothing.
Yeah, right. That's who's pulling his strings, I'll bet. And
from a mile away, it's a, they live in a mansion.
People above him.
Valerie Jarrett. Oh, of course, Susan Rice.
Have you seen the movie? Have you seen the movie 2,000 Mules yet?
No, I have no time. Is it good?
Well, I don't have the time either. But let me tell you, I saw it last night. Political. Yeah, I watched it. This political party I belong to here, I won't say who, but we had a huge big gathering, a couple of hundred people, and they got a copy of it, and they put it up there. Holy smoke. The mules are the people that deliver all the mail-in ballots or the ones going to the drop boxes.
Uh-huh.
And they didn't realize that their cell phones were pinging, and so these people who put it together had a map of the various different cities, Atlanta, Pittsburgh, et cetera, and they could follow these guys as they went from one drop box to another, to another, to another, and they were putting 5-10 ballots in each one, and they got closed-circuit TV videos. And here you see this guy dropping a bunch of ballots in this here box at 3 o'clock in the morning and then going to another box to another place. You know, who the hell votes at 3 o'clock in the morning? And Gorka, what's his name? Dr. Gorka, he's in it.
Simon Gorka, I think, right?
Whatever his name
Simon?
Is.
Whatever.
No, not
okay.
Simon, but... And the black guy.
You mean You mean the commentator Gorka?
Yeah.
Political.
The guy with the beard and mustache.
Right.
And then the black guy who ran for California governor when they were trying to recall Gavin Newsom. Can't remember his name, but he's on all the time for commercials. They were in it, and after you see it. Anybody, even the dumbest some bitch on the planet, after he sees it, cannot deny that the election was stolen.
Well, that's a Dinesh D'Souza production. We need to give Dinesh credit. It's his documentary. I have another take on it. It is, without question, the most outrageous election theft probably in modern times.
Oh, absolutely.
What was at stake. But what's worse? What's worse, Harry? What's worse?
People who don't think it was stolen.
The people that don't care.
Don't care, yeah.
They've accepted this brain-dead, deviant, pedophile, career political criminal as their president. They are not out in the streets. They are not protesting. They are allowing it. By our silence, we allow. The American people have allowed this.
Unfortunately,
sorry.
Yeah. And if people start protesting, remember, the people who are controlling or stole the election are also the people that control the Justice Department.
Correct.
You know, this January 6th thing was a protest or whatever, but now it's an insurrection.
No.
And these people are all traitors and should all be hanged, according to those.
It was a setup from the beginning, and you know
it. Yes, it was.
And everybody listening knows it.
Yep,
and these
it was a setup.
People,
a lot of thieves in that group.
Yeah, and when Donald Trump left office, turned his back on them, and let them all swing in the wind, that will forever haunt his political history.
Yeah.
He let them hang out to dry. There's no other way to look at it. You can't excuse that. He should have given them a blanket pardon. You know it, and I know it, and everybody listening knows it. He invited them there, and he walked out on them. Furthermore,
pardon. I never thought of that.
Oh, come
on. There's a guy in Tampa jail right now that's been there for months and months and months because he was a allegedly conspirator or some shit like that. I was invited to that thing by my political group here.
I told you not to go.
I don't have the time to go. Huh?
I told you not to go.
Well, not only that, I don't have the time to go.
I told Ted Brewer not to go and Austin not to go. I just had a bad sense.
Yeah.
And
well, one of the ladies from our political group went. She's a tiny little lady. She had just had brain surgery, could hardly talk, and she went. But by the definition, she's a terrorist. Jesus.
Okay, come on. And is Donald Trump talking about these people and mentioning that he should have blanket pardoned all of them? No. He's not saying anything.
You cannot
be a Trump supporter and accept what he did to those people. And the
should
little
I be
one
a Biden
minute
supporter?
No, they shouldn't support any of those crooks. Come on.
Well,
they're all
keep
rotten.
Your powder dry, because it's looking like things are coming, and that would be a damn shame if it came to armed conflict, because the left would call in the Chinese right away.
Well, the left are arming themselves as quickly as they can, believe
sure.
it. Communists always eventually do. So we just, Donald Trump is one of the great tragedies of American political history. What he could have done and what he did are two entirely different things. My
Sebastian
view,
Gorka,
not yours. Yeah, I've got
I'm
it.
Sorry.
I'm looking at it. Yeah,
okay.
Sebastian.
Sorry for interrupting. Yeah. The tape just came around in my head.
Yeah.
Sebastian Gorka.
Right. When Trump gave that little video appeal, alleged, all right, everyone, it's time to go home now. We love you. We're glad you came to make your feelings known and all that crap. His hair was a different color. It was pre-recorded.
Oh.
If you remember how he would go through a gray-silver period, then he'd go back to orange, well, it was orange on January 6th and the 5th
okay.
and the 7th, but that
I
tape
wasn't.
That was played was silver.
Oh, okay. I wasn't
that was
paying
a week
attention
earlier.
To his hair.
Well, you need to pay attention to all of it to understand
well,
how
I know
the,
with
the game
Obama,
was played.
There were times that he his hair was snow white, and there was other times it was dark. There was time his complexion was lighter than other times. So was it really Obama, or was it a stand-in? I don't know.
All I'm talking about is January 6th and what happened there.
Oh, okay.
I will not forgive, nor will I ever forget what was done to those people.
I'm getting
okay.
far afield.
Yes, afield. How's your dog?
Asha, she's doing great.
I should ask Asha, how's your owner?
Asha's going to be pestering me in about an hour to take her out, but that's too bad because I'm going to be here until 11, then I'll take her out.
Did she eat the bed?
No, she's been so good. I mean, she won't even, we can walk off and leave our food on the table and come back, she won't touch it. The only thing she does that we don't let her on, you know, we pile pillows on the sofa when we go to bed at night, because she used to lay on the sofa, which no big deal, but mm-hmm. she'd drool all over the sofa. You'd come there and find a spot about a foot in diameter soaking wet, because she'd lay
right.
down and then she'd drool on it.
Got it. You hope it was drool. All right.
Oh, I know it was drool.
You know, you never met drool you didn't recognize. Okay.
I know which end of her was where.
I believe it.
And she doesn't do, no, she's really good about it. She's 4 years old now, but she is still really wound up. She gets going, our carpets are shot because she runs through the house and makes quite tight turns and them toenails dig in. So the carpets are shot.
She really
shot.
Does run through the house, huh? Wow.
Oh, yeah. And she plays with Sean in the house. But then I take her out when I walk around the block, which is a half mm-hmm. a mile where we live. And she's all bouncing and frisky for the first three quarters of the walk, but after that, she's kind of pooped.
You let her off the leash?
Never, because that kind of dog just takes off and runs and runs and runs, and 5 miles later, they'll stop and say, where am I? and then you don't see her. She's chipped, and she's got all her tags, so if anybody finds her, you know, they'll bring her home. She's not vicious at all. She won't bite any, but she can get hit by a car, and that would break my son's heart. We can't have that.
We don't want to go there. No.
No.
But the bed is still in one piece. I figured she'd...
She hasn't. No, she hasn't done anything with that at all.
Does she like it?
Oh, yeah, she lays in it. Except if she wants to be really left alone, she goes into her crate all by herself, and curls up in the crate, and she feels secure in there. But when mostly when Sean's home, she's with him or she lays in the bed, and she's underfoot. And when I get up in the morning at 4 o'clock in the morning and come down the hall to my office, I have to have a little flashlight because she's big and
powerful.
Jeez,
you could break a hip, Harry.
She's got powerful jaws, so we buy her hard chew toys, and she never remembers to put them back in the little toy box. She puts them out and leaves them, and so in the middle of the night, you go walking down the hall, and you step on one of these things. It's an excitement.
What all of you lucky people are learning on this program. We always strive to educate, take these incredible journeys through history, and learn.
Yeah.
Amazing.
And some of your people, like this very nice lady, Peggy, emailed me from Australia, and she's sitting, I'm looking at the email right here. It says, she says, I listen to you on Rents Radio, and so interesting. So with a lot of O's.
Well, let's see. She likes dog toys.
Yeah, not only that, I put her email into the next issue of our magazine. Her father was Harry Balfour's, the radio operator on the island of Ley when Amelia Earhart landed there. And he was helping her a lot, and she gave him all her personal possessions there at Ley because she needed every ounce of weight for the fuel.
No kidding.
And she said that Fred Noonan was up in the hills getting drunk and banging the native women up there in the hills, and so... she wanted Harry Balfour to take Noonan's place, and Balfour says, nope, I got a wife and children, and if you get the slightest headwind, you ain't going to make it. And she didn't. Now, whether she crashed or whether Japanese shot her down.
Wait a minute now. Now, this is historical. You didn't see what Yoichi Shimatsu and I put together?
No.
We have a photo of her sitting on the dock.
Oh, sitting on the dock. Okay, yeah, I saw that picture.
Fred Noonan is standing next to her. She's in Japanese custody.
Okay.
But they're letting her walk around. And behind
her... Where's she going to go? It's on an island.
Right. Behind her, at several hundred yards behind her, is a small Japanese freighter with her aircraft right on it.
Yeah, I remember seeing that photo. I didn't know it came from you, but I remember seeing the photo. And there has long been the rumor that she was actually spying on behalf of the U.S. because she was flying over Japanese.
Of course she was.
No, we wouldn't do that, would we? Oh, my goodness.
Oh, we just
Next
gave
you're going to tell me Lee Harvey Oswald didn't really shoot John F. Kennedy.
Well, we just give the Ukrainian... military, the coordinates of their Moskva, their flagship, and watched it sink.
Yeah.
We had aerial surveillance of it, gave them the exact coordinates.
Yeah.
The world is very, very little resemblance of what we see in history to what really happened. That's what we're here for tonight. So let's go to guests, tonight's guests. And click here, and you'll see Admiral Harry Cooper, and the title for this little coffee klatch. That's what it is, since you're having
coffee. Yeah, because I don't know the sete word.
It's some gay thing.
Oh, Jesus, no wonder I don't know it.
A likely story. Astounding German genius. World War II, Underground Railroads and Cities. That is the title for tonight's little photo tour. And so click on Photo Gallery, and you'll see the pictures. And the last five pictures are a magazine article that I found 20 years ago, and I was amazed by it. So I had it. I found it, and I got it copied, and you can actually look at it and read it. Now, I'm going to read it as we go through some of the pictures, and Harry's going to talk about it, because it's a remarkable story, one of many that no one knows about.
Yeah.
We were going to do Owl Mountain tonight, but we don't have time for that, and that's...
No.
That's even bigger.
It's called. Right. Yeah. The Germans made so much underground, so-called experts have determined that they built four or five times as much underground as they did above ground. They were incredible at this stuff. And they, of course, it was all built by Jewish slave laborers who were then executed, and that's bullshit. I'm sorry, I shouldn't say that on your show, but that's just not true. You don't put unskilled people to work with dynamite. These were skilled experts, and we were in the remains of a workers' camp, not in this area, but down in Bavaria, a workers' camp that built the tunnels on the Obersalzberg. And these were Italians and Austrians who got paid a pretty good buck. You don't take an unskilled...
These weren't Russian POWs or Jewish political prisoners or gypsies. So
don't take an unskilled person and put them to work with dynamite and come up with something like this. These were skilled. And when you see the immensity, the enormity of this one particular tunnel complex, hell, it goes 60 kilometers from north to south, plus a lot of side tunnels going off.
And we won't even mention how many kilometers we have here in the U.S. of maglev transit underground tunnels and underground cities and complexes. We've been burrowing under this terra firma for the last half century and longer.
Yeah, but I haven't been in any of those tunnels. I've been in these tunnels.
Yeah.
All in Germany, I get in the tunnels.
Here's the magazine article. I read part of this anyway. And we'll stop. Secrets of the Regen Wurmlager.
Yep.
Is that right?
Yeah, Regen Wurmlager. Lager is a camp. Regen is rain. Wurm is worm. So strict translation is the rain worm camp. But in colloquial usage, it's the earthworm camp.
All right. You know what? Let's do this. I'll read this later. Let's look at our pictures first.
Whatever your little heart desires.
It's not that level. Picture. Picture number one. All right, this is from under the Regen Wurmlager, and it's a split, two tunnels emanating from one larger one. And
right.
These are rail tunnels. Understand, there were trains that went in here. Now, they weren't huge trains, but they were trains. They had tracks in there. Everything.
Yeah, otherwise how would you get from one end to the other 60 kilometers away? 60 kilometers is what, about 40 miles roughly? You're not going to walk there on your lunch hour.
No. And they had, I'm sure, some way of fueling these trains without using normal diesel fuel, or well, they weren't diesel engines, they were steam locomotives, but coal oil. If you look, there's not a lot. The tunnels aren't black on the roof, okay? So they were probably burning something in there that was relatively free of soot and carbon.
Probably coke. Because down on the Obersalzberg, they had huge, big bunkers, the coke bunkers, which we've been in and we've videotaped and we've had them on your show. But they put coke in in there instead of coal, because coke is already coal that's had the impurities burned out, so it burns very clean.
Yeah, I understand what you're looking at here. Right is one tunnel. It's a little smaller. Left is a larger tunnel, which would indicate probably a main transit artery of this whole complex.
Wait till you see some of the other pictures in here. Incidentally, the guy who wrote the article, we've talked about this before. You know, when you read the article, you think he's some fathead liberal who hates the Germans.
He's Russian.
Right, and you look at his biography and you find out he's Russian and his grandfather was a decorated Soviet officer. So,
And Paul Stonehill is a UFO ET paranormal expert.
Is that what it is? Okay.
Yeah, he did a lot with UFO ET stories.
Okay.
But he found this one too. So number one is, it's pretty amazing. How deep do we know approximately is this tunnel underground?
It ranges anywhere from, I think, 90 to 150 meters underground,
That's 300 feet. That's a football field deep.
Yeah, 100 meters is 300 feet.
So this is way down there. Okay.
Way down there. And they had problems, as you'll see in some of the follow-on photos, with water creeping in because part of it was near the Oder River, which is today's boundary between Germany and what is now Poland. And so you get digging down under that kind of water table, and you got a lot of seepage. So they had pumps going, and it was very humid at that end.
So, you know what I see? Harry, the first picture, look in the right tunnel. You see two legs?
Yeah, you noticed that, did you?
You see on the left tunnel, on the right side of the left tunnel, there's a full body.
Yep.
They may be ghosts.
Yeah. We've seen that in tunnels.
I bet you
have. We've taken pictures of them in tunnels, although they just come out as a glowing thing, but we see them. I cannot comment on this one, though. But this, getting back to what I was saying, the guy who wrote this said this was used by the Abwehr, which is the defense. It was used by the SS. It was used by the Abwehr. They were training Pakistanis to send them back to their own country to revolt against their own governments. Skorzeny was there quite a bit.
Yeah.
And they stored things, including the rocket fuel for the V-2 rockets, and also including the Zerum 525, which was the special stuff for the Glocke, the otherwise known as the Nazi Bell. So
okay.
Were
so many side tunnels going off into large rooms, work areas, factory assembly issues, storage. This was a complex that it's mind-boggling. Okay, let's go to number two.
Several stories deep, too, you'll see directly.
Yeah, okay.
Number two.
Same kind of a thing, a split. Yeah.
Another split. And if you look closely, especially off on the left, you'll see the rails.
Yeah.
And you'll also see that there's about 2-3 inches of water.
Or where the rails used to be, I don't see any
rails.
Yeah,
probably. When the Soviets took over, they ripped up every rail they could because they needed the steel. I have a friend who lives in Berlin, and his house was right on the border between East and West Berlin, and he got it after the fall of East Berlin. And it was a colonel's house, and there was machine gun parts in it, and right in front of his house was the trolley line, except there was no more rails. As soon as the Soviets took over, they ripped up all the rails so they could make steel for what? Guns, tanks, toothpicks, who knows?
I'm sure.
But you'll notice in these pictures that even though most of this tunnel is off limits, the taggers have been here, and they spray paint all sorts of stuff.
Isn't that clever? What smart people.
Yeah.
idiots.
Unfortunate. They're destroying history.
History? All right, number three.
Number three. It's a little comment there. Most entrances are secured with gates. They like to let the air keep flowing, I guess. So these are locked gates.
Are these original?
No, I don't believe so. They were put up, I'm not sure if they were put up by the Soviets or later on after the German government took over.
Do we think the Soviets must have gone through every inch of that whole complex?
Oh, yeah.
Looking for stuff? Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
All right.
They had special squads that did nothing but that.
Number four. Now, there's an interesting... Talk about a blast-proof door.
Yeah.
That's probably a 2-inch thick steel door. That's pretty tough.
Yeah, it's pretty well balanced, though, because we could just pull it open and close, because we came in through that door.
German engineering.
Yeah, oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Deutsche Qualitäts. But when we went there, we went in through that door.
It's not a maritime door either. That was specially made for that, I would
right,
guess.
Right, no, that's more like what you'd find on an armored personnel carrier, I guess. I don't know. But it's a blast door, and that's how we got in.
Number five is the front porch of Harry's home. And
with a famous Florida sinkhole out front, right? Now, I think that's... Sinkhole. You ever heard of a sinkhole?
Yeah, oh, I've heard. Yes, yes, yes.
The gas station about 4 miles from me had a problem some years ago. Two old ladies were in their car gassing up, and all of a sudden, that whole section of the gas station dropped 30 feet. They had to come with ropes and get the old ladies out, and the car is still down there. I guess they paved over it, but that happens in Florida all the time, except this is not Florida. This is Germany. Actually, it's Poland now. That's
This is in Poland. Is this Silesia or before World War I, part of Germany? Probably.
Oh, where the heck was it? Brandenburg, I think it was. I don't know. It's just to the east of the Oder River.
Okay. Interesting. If you look carefully, you'll see to the left of the stairs a round item, and to the right of the stairs, clearly a round item going down into the ground. I don't know what those are.
I don't know.
Okay, and what does this lead to?
That leads down to another part of the tunnel system.
Okay.
There's parts of the tunnel system that weren't totally finished off.
Hidden.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Let's just pull up and you go on down and catch the 515 and...
the 515 up to the rocket fuel base.
Wow. See, people don't understand. That's all they ever hear is evil Nazi, evil Nazi.
Oh, I know.
Nazi. I'm so sick of it. Not as sick as you are of it, but it's just really disgusting.
Well, especially since, according to the Southern Poverty Law Center, I are one. We don't even know what is a Nazi anymore, but the Southern Poverty Law Center said that I'm a Nazi. They posted it on their website, and they're liars. I'm not now, nor have I ever been a Nazi, neo or otherwise. And what is a Nazi?
Nor were 90% of the Germans in the military. There were only 10% were in the National Socialist Party. And
right.
The word Nazi was not a German word. It was created by MI6 to be used to smear and degrade Germany. It's another public relations thing.
So, now, if it was up to this Southern Poverty Law Center, or as we call them, the Spitlickers. Now, if they were attacking me today, they would call me a white supremacist an abortion denier. Or who knows what the buzzwords are
nowadays. Maybe a vaccine denier. That's right.
Well, I am that.
Well, you want to live, see?
Yes, I have not taken the jab.
Nope. All right, another entrance. Image number six.
Yep.
Is that blown out partly, or is that what you got, what you get? That's what they had.
That's what they had. Yeah, it was not blown up. That's what they had.
Okay.
That's kind of a rough entrance.
Yeah, got it. Okay.
Number seven.
Now this is, I'm looking forward to this. What do we got here?
This is the layout of the tunnel system.
Jeez.
Yeah.
Now,
and
are there any
the
areas?
River.
Yeah.
Say again?
Are there any areas that they have not found, perhaps?
That's like asking me to tell you what I forgot. If they haven't found it, we don't know that they haven't found it. But my guess is there is still undiscovered stuff. Every time I go to Germany, almost, we find a new tunnel complex.
Oh, as for example, how much of Berlin is underground to this day, and much of it has not even been in since the war ended.
Right. We were in, whenever we have our tours to Berlin, we go into the command bunker of the East German government and military mm-hmm. in case of all-out war, nuclear war, whatever. They're like 40, 50 meters underground, and we go in there. It's like they walked out yesterday. The desks are there, but they're hanging on springs from the ceiling. The rooms are all mounted in heavy, heavy rubber blocks. The refrigerators are all mounted on rubber blocks. The computers are still there on shelves, hanging from the ceiling on springs. So
this is the former East German government you're talking about.
Yes, that's correct. That's correct. And we go in there.
Yeah.
And we tour. And there's documents laying around on the floor and on the desks. I don't know if anybody ever read the damn things or not, but it's laying there like Ivan walked out yesterday.
Wow. Yeah, look at that. Look at that layout. A main line, one end to the other, and you can stop and get off at any of the side streets you want. And
head on side out. Streets, right. And you'll notice up by the number seven, that's the Oder River, I believe, or it's one of the lakes. And then down towards the bottom, there's a big lake. So the water table was a problem.
Well, there's a mention or two in the article about that issue.
Right, and I also talked to our mutual friend who was a spy, and he gave me the whole rundown on the place that they could transport large number of troops from one end to the other in case of combat. They could also outflank the enemy that way. And the tunnels we're looking at here right now is Regensworm, Roland, and then there was another part called Nachtigall, which means nightingale. It just, you know, it was a little city underground, or like a little state with many cities or villages. And they all had access to the Reichsbahn, the railroads.
Picture number nine.
Number nine.
Look at the workmanship. This is all concrete.
Mm-hmm.
Extraordinary.
With electric lines, water inlets, or water piping, sewer outlets, etc.
It's really amazing.
Yeah.
I wonder if this is open to the public now.
Most of it is not.
Yeah, they really ought to. Well, clean it all
up. How are you going to open it to the public and let them see the entire thing?
Oh, you can't. That's too much.
Right.
Number 10.
Number 10. And you can see by the tagging on the wall, it's been to Polish down there, because that's whatever it says, it's written in Polish.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a stairway. Where did you see some of the other stairways? Well, you have, but I mean your listeners.
Mm-hmm.
Go to number 11. Look at that. That's a stairway. Look at that.
This is amazing.
Yeah, holy smokers. That's got to be, 100 and something feet up and down?
Oh, sure. I'd say. And we're not sure where, that may not be the bottom of it where this photo was taken.
Exactly. And look at the workmanship. Beautiful concrete.
Look how they form the concrete to make nice looking lines in it. That they didn't have to do that. They could have just been flat slabs like the walls, but that was done intentionally.
Yeah.
Everything they did. Yeah, go ahead.
Pride.
These are real people, and I'll explain that.
Well, just to show you the size. These are people, say, what, 6 feet tall, roughly, and look at them all the way down. And this photo was not taken from the very top. So that gives you an idea how deep this thing is.
All right, now I'm trying, hold on. I'm looking up, right?
Well, on photo 11.
Am I looking down?
Photo 11, you're looking up, but photo 12, you're looking down from above.
Okay. I don't see the, I can't figure the people. I can't get that.
Well, I put white blobs over their faces. They're on the top banister thing.
You mean there's a, well, I see a white circle.
No, that's on 11 you're looking at.
Oh, where am I supposed to be?
12.
Yeah, I'm always a little slow. Oh,
whatever,
yes,
you
I
say.
Look at that. Look at that. Look at that.
You don't want to fall off them balconies. You
That's
got time
incredible.
To eat your lunch on the way down.
That is really incredible.
Mm-hmm.
It looks contemporary in its architecture, its design.
Well, maybe they can lease it out for high-buck condos.
Amazing. All right, the Admiral Eyes Show will be back and continue in just a few minutes. When we come back, I'll probably read this article for you real quickly, and then we'll look at the
Good.
Rest of the pictures.
And your listeners can click on photo 13 while they're waiting.
Very good. Back
Shameless
in a minute. Hold
self-promotion.
On. It's okay. We'll be back with Harry.